Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live. The Edge of Reality here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all, and which means it's almost Friday, which means we're almost at the weekend. And you know what? I have a secret. Well, it's not really a secret because I'm about to tell you. I took off tomorrow. I have a vacation day tomorrow. So it is the weekend for me. So I'm going to treat it as such. I'm going to treat it like it's the weekend. So there we go. Before we talk about anything else, I got to bring in my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hey, Allie, I am good. I just got all caught up on The Voice. I think there's some pretty fantastic singers this season. You don't like the lives as much, but I tell you what, they rushed this through. There were three nights this week, and the way that they kind of rushed it through, there was no packages. It was just all singing, and a lot of them brought their A game. And
yeah.
Fort Wayne, another Fort Wayner is in the final 12, so hometown girls got to vote for.
Yes. Well, we will absolutely talk about The Voice. We got to talk about this episode of Survivor. We got to talk about I'm going to call it the plethora of MTV shows that are either starting or ending this week. Lots of different stuff to discuss. And as always, I want you guys to be a part of the conversation. You can join us on Twitter. I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. And you can be a part of our conversation anytime. You know, we understand you're listening to the podcast. You might be listening to this not live. You could be listening to this 3 days from now, 3 weeks from now, 3 months from now. We don't care. Talk to us. It does not matter when. We'll be here. So, catch up with us and let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you're watching. And I'm always up to hear new suggestions for shows, especially around this time of year, because yes, I know it sounds crazy. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of shows going on right now, but you know, we tend in just like a month, we'll get into like a little bit of a lull again. And so I'm always looking for new stuff and to watch. So please let us know. We're always interested. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. With The Voice, since you started with The Voice, Priscilla, let's go into that one first. You know, the saves and the steals. Let's back up a second to the previous rounds. They're interesting. You know, they're kind of fun, and it's another way you can see the mentors being strategic, and it's another way to watch people fight, mentors fight with each other over singers, and you know, I think they're a lot of fun. The drawback of it is that you get, like, there's still a lot of people until you get to the final 12, and you still are doing a lot of the packages and things like that. So you're not getting you're not seeing a ton of people, and you're not getting, like, a variety of different voices or hearing a lot. So the cool thing about this week, I absolutely agree with you, Priscilla, was that you were able, there was not the packages, which I know. I think I might be in the minority with this. I when I talk to people, they love getting the background and the packages. Me, not so much. I mean, it's not like, I find it interesting to a degree. I don't like rehashing the same thing over and over again. I don't like how it's always like this, like sob overcome, you know, story. But I understand that I'm in the minority in this conversation. I get it. Put every package. Let's get everybody's background information. Go for it. But I was really happy that it was kind of just this straight perform. We're getting longer psalms. We're getting more people, you know, people with with just more of an opportunity to sing. And yeah, I dug it. And it was the first time this week where I was like, you know, there are people throughout the process where I'm like, oh, they're good. I like them. You know, they're fun. But it was kind of like, okay, we have some good, there's some contenders, there's some people that stand out, here they are. So I agree with you. I like this part of it. From now on, from now when we get into the lives, this is definitely when I start losing interest. But I thought getting to the final 12 was interesting. What are your thoughts, Priscilla?
FYI, I did follow through this. I keep saying every season I'm going to do it, but, you know, when they shorten the packages, are they there? No. The 3Js, of course, never made it to the live. So if there's a shorten or no package, then more than likely they didn't make it. So I'm not following no more people. I did it this one time. I'm done with that. But, yeah, I mean, that's all I had to say really on the voices that I did. I actually did find, even though it was three times this week, and the first Monday was a 2-hour show. Mm-hmm. We still got our 4 hours for the week, but the way it was broke down and the way they kind of sped through it, I didn't mind it. And they didn't talk to the coaches a whole lot, especially the last two, the Tuesday and Wednesday episode. They pretty much just went straight to the coach. They didn't have to get all the other BS crap that they're spewing. So it didn't feel like 4 hours, three nights in 1 week.
Yeah, it gets the three night shows get to be a lot. I mean, especially when they're back Monday through Wednesday, especially, you know, when they're kind of the same, you know, you're ultimately watching people sing, albeit different people, but you're watching people sing. It's kind of a formulaic thing. But I agree with you. It doesn't feel monotonous. It doesn't feel like I got to just get through this. It's entertaining, and I appreciate that. And we got to thank the caliber of singer for that, because if they didn't have the caliber of performer that they had, you know, you're just watching a bunch of average people sing, which I think would get boring, even with the most exciting mentors that you could have. You know, I love Kelly Clarkson. I love, you know, what the coaches bring to the table. But if the performers weren't, you know, if they were just like, we can take it or leave it, I don't think it would be as interesting. So I'm happy that, you know, we have some contenders.
With the ACM being on Sunday, there's actually quite a few American Idol people that during past and present contestants, and old coaches, whatnot, Keith Urban and everything, and Keith and Carrie actually won an award at the ACM. And then, you know, Blake and Kelly happened to beeline it back for live shows to start the next night. Mm-hmm. But Cassie Pope was in the audience. I mean, I did see finally started
Luke
to see Brown, more
Luke
of the
Bryan was there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a little more, it was more heavy on American Idol side. But you got to remember, American Idol was at a time when there was no other shows like that on there. So, a lot of the beginning people, like the Kelly Clarksons and the Carrie Underwoods, stand out more because they already had their career going before The Voice came, and we got overpopulated with all these different variety shows. I call it variety show, but it's not really. It's a singing contest show or whatever. But I don't know. I felt like I've seen more people out in the audience and stuff that they were showing clips of that was The Voice related as well. So the whole time I was watching ACM, I was comparing those two.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because I've changed my mind completely on this issue, and a lot of it is thanks to us talking, because I used to believe, and I made the argument for it several times on this podcast, that American Idol was the better show, the more influential show, because the winners ultimately go on to more substantial careers. But thinking about it now, I've kind of come to the point where I've decided that, you know, that doesn't necessarily matter in terms of entertainment purposes for the show. The Voice as a whole is a much stronger show than American Idol. And, you know, now we're kind of at the part, that point where American Idol winners are not having the substantial careers. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And part of one is what you just said about how, you know, a lot of the previous winners that became that have gone on to substantial careers. I don't want to say stars, but, you know, we have our star level. But even people with consistent, solid careers that occurred before, you know, this deluge of different programming. But there's other factors involved in that as well. I'm just looking at it as a entertainment value show, and pound for pound, the voice is a stronger show. Hopefully that leads to the winners doing well and going on to substantial careers. I think that they have careers, which is more than what they had before joining The Voice. They might not be the most household known names, but, you know, I think they're touring consistently. I think they're making a living in this industry, which at the end of the day, I think is all you can ask for. You know, they're not star. They're not the star power of a Carrie Underwood or Kelly Clarkson or what have you. But, you know, it's a life-changing thing for them. And, you know, they're recording music, they're on tour, they're, you know, doing events and appearances, they're making money doing something that they absolutely love, that they probably would not have been if it wasn't for this experience. So at the end of the day, I think that's all you can ask for, right? I mean, I think that's all you kind of need.
And household names. But if you actually, like, think about it, there's not – I mean, you get that one in a blue moon that comes out, like Cardi B, comes from nowhere, like, within a few-month period, and they're like, that's all you hear about everywhere. You get that once in a blue moon, but a lot of these, the ones that are coming especially out of these contestant shows, they're working, they're making money, but their name isn't out there. But if you think about it, the people that we know, like Neo and Usher, they're all older names that we've heard about before these shows come around. But there's very few that after these shows came about that name just pops out there, you know, like Justin Bieber. He come along right around when these shows were taking off. I don't think that the music industry itself doesn't promote their stars or their prize pupils like they used to. A lot of it is now all through social media gatherings, and a lot of these kids are doing it on their own to get them there. Cardi B was all social media that got her started.
Well, Cardi B was social media, but she was also on a TV show. She was on VH1's Love and Hip Hop. So that is true. Love and Hip Hop is a very underrated show that I watch, not consistently, but consistently enough. And she was on that, her sister, BT Dubs, on the season of Champs versus Pros, which we'll talk about on MTV.
Yeah.
But I ultimately, and I think we've had this conversation before, I think it comes down to that the music industry has changed significantly over the past 10 years, but the past 15 years especially, where, you know, radio play dominated the market. And it was about, does your single make radio stations? Does it play on the radio? And now people curate their own music experiences, and people are finding little known bands and artists that, you know, you don't necessarily need the radio to tell you, you know, you're finding your own stuff and you're putting it, you're downloading it on your own time and you're using your own personal devices to, you know, get the music that you want. And because of that, everybody's tastes have changed and people have much more specific tastes in artists and music. Except, and it's not like this general, what it used to be, you know, it used to be like, if I like pop, I go to the pop radio station and there's all of this kind of music within this genre. And now you can have a much more specific taste and have, you know, find artists that meet it and that's it. So, you know, I think that there's a lot more people who are out there who are working, who are performing, who are touring, but they're maybe not as known, but to the people that they are known, they're the ones who are buying their music and going to their shows and doing that. And I think
even like just the fact that now well-known artists are only releasing EPs now instead of LPs. So you know, short and condensed versions, because a lot of people aren't going out and buying like a album anymore. You know, if they like that song, they're going to download that song. They don't need to get the whole album. So if it sucks, I mean, the only way if you're going to put out an album, you want it to be a great one. So that way you have a lot of downloads from the entire album.
Right, right. And you know, people, you know, kind of going back to TV, you know, we're doing the same thing with their TV consumption. So we're curating television experiences.
Exactly.
Where,
exactly.
You know, it used to be where, you know, we have these channels, we watch what's on these channels at these times. And if you get home at 8:12 p.m., you missed the first 12 minutes of Survivor and, you know, you're not going to be able to watch. You missed them, you know, and now now that's not the case. There's plenty of ways to watch stuff. There's plenty of ways to watch previous seasons. And it's funny because I've talked to, you know, several people in the past year or two, which they got into a Survivor or a Big Brother or even like a Top Chef or Project Runway way after the fact. And then they've gone back and watched like all the previous seasons of, you know, a show. I work with someone right now who got into Project Runway live like two seasons ago, but has watched like now like half the seasons of Project Runway because you find something you like and you can go back and you can watch everything, you know, and that's, I think, partially what's kind of keeping current reality shows afloat is this idea, like you have people who have always interested in it and then you have these new people who are coming in and are able to kind of catch up and watch a bunch of stuff all at once. So it's
or,
you know,
like
it's
me, interesting. I can't just come into and watch like a season. Like BB's, like Big Brother's a little bit different because it's like you have to watch that season from beginning to end. Whereas if I am going to go watch another series or a show, I have to actually go watch it from the beginning. I can't come into season 5 before. I might record it on the DVR or watch it on my Fire Stick or something after I've already watched the first 4 seasons. I can't just jump into it. I've never been that way, and I ain't changed my ways now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a completist. You're a completist. And that's, you know, and that's cool. And that's, you know, and I think that's,
I guess,
how
I could be called worse.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. If I'm watching something, I got to finish it out. It does not matter. It could go sideways. I could, you know, it could be horrible. I got to finish it out, you know. So I'm the same way. But, you know, how we consume media has changed so dramatically that the winners of these, you know, talent-based competitions, you know, their trajectory, their path to, you know, doing well in the industry has changed. But, you know, they're still doing what they're still doing well, and they're doing what they need to do, and they're, you know, some of them, anyway, and you know, it's a good thing. So it's cool to see, you know, when the voice kind of skips over a lot of the packages thing, then we get to see what they're there to do, like we did this week. It's been fun to watch. So yeah, I will attempt the live show next week and just see how it goes and see. I'm like a pace person when it comes to live show. They have to keep it moving for me to kind of keep going. But we'll see how it goes. Let's talk some Survivor. Let's kind of change gears and talk a little Survivor, because Libby is no more. Libby left us this week. I mean, and we kind of saw it coming. I mean, it's not like this is the first time that her name has been put on the paper, and there's been a lot of foreshadowing, especially when she was on The Reward, and she was like, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what's happening here. You know, so there was a lot of foreshadowing to her demise. But, you know, it did not go in the traditional way, so it made for a very fun episode of TV. Did you end up watching Wendell's vote last week?
No.
Yeah, it's so good.
I didn't pay attention. I normally do. Oh wait. Yeah, he did have something legs, thunder legs or something.
No. Last week, when Wendell said, you're trash at rapping, you're garbage at rapping, put the mic down, bro, that whole speech. Yeah, you need a one. It's so good. And then, you know, I need to be better about this, but whenever I watch them, I think to myself, man, I love these. I need to watch them every week. And then I forget about them. But
I normally do watch them.
Yeah, they put out secret scenes, and they also put out what is it called? The name of the Ponderosa.
Ponderosa.
I wanted to keep on saying Promenade. In my head, I was like, Promenade. And I was like, I know that's not right. They put out these Ponderosa videos. So when someone's exited, there's a video that kind of features that person and something that they do. And this past week's with Chris was Chris essentially had a rap video by himself, because he's the first member of jury, and which incorporated staff of Ponderosa, and it is just great. It is so good. It is so funny. It's ridiculous. And I encourage you guys, if you're fans of Survivor, and like I said, I have to be better about this, because I was just like, why am I not watching these videos every week? These are awesome. I encourage you to check out the Ponderosa videos and the secret scenes, which give you a lot more detail into people's either relationships, which are always nice to see, because you don't always get everybody's full and complete relationships on the show, or get more, you know, you get extended confessionals, so you can hear what people are, you know, what people are thinking. It's almost like the equivalent, if you watch Big Brother feeds, it's the equivalent of someone staring at the camera and they're just talking for an extended period of time. You get some of that. Now, some of it is dumb and they talk about, you know, how much they love food or whatever, but you know, I definitely think it's worth it. But that Ponderosa rap, so good. So good. I just want to throw that out there. Anyway,
how good was it?
Michael. It was so good. You know, Michael, I want to talk about Michael a little bit, because, you know, we got to remember Michael, 18-year-old Michael, telling everybody that he's 23. handled his this week, I think, very, very well. I think he had a really good read that he knew that he was going to be in trouble. He approached it like, hey, look, I know I'm going to be in trouble. I know that you're going to split votes. I know that I'm going to get some of these votes. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, crafted the story in a way that he, you know, he was able to remain safe because he had to use his idol. But he, you know, was Libby was the person that he was able to get out. And, you know, something tells me, and first of all, you know, he used the effing stick. And it's a real idol now, and he used it, which is awesome. One of my favorite artifacts from Survivor history, he actually used. But I think that he used it at the perfect time, and I kind of think that people are going to forget about him again. I think that the Navidi tribe has been kind of picking at each other enough that I think they're going to kind of let him be and start going after each other.
If that was one of my questions that I was going to ask you, what your thought of that was, if you think he'd be on the chopping block. I was going to actually ask you that because I kind of had the same feeling.
We get this, Malolo, I think, is down to two, if I'm not mistaken. We're at Jenna and we're at Michael, right? Because Sebastian was Navidi. So I believe we're only at two left of original. I'm talking about the first tribe, first day that they came in. Malolo has been essentially decimated at this point. But it's been a very rare thing in Survivor where people say, okay, we're going to take out all of one side of a tribe. That's going to be done. And when the last person's gone, we will start taking out yourselves. And that's not how it goes. And I think that Michael, you know, used his idol at the perfect time, got it out there. It's done. I think that he's more than capable of finding another one, by the way, in quick succession. So I don't think that's necessarily a problem. But I also think that Navidi is chomping to work, get themselves going here. And I don't think that they'll be able to, in two votes, take out Michael and Jenna. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well,
I think that's not
what usually happens is once they start dwindling down, then you have like, a Malcolm and, what was her name? God, I can't even think of it right now. I can picture blonde hair, glasses. You know, they slip through till quite a ways into the merge.
Blonde hair, glasses. Oh,
yeah, older lady. She liked to start shit off.
Oh, Dawn.
No, I don't think it was Dawn. There were three of them, and she kind of turned on Dawn and Malcolm, I think.
Okay. Well, keep going.
She was flipping
back
and forth. But anyways, that's what usually happens when the tribes start dwindling down. Then they start refocusing their direction, and they slip through the cracks, and they get pretty far into the merge. It happens every season.
And it's not just necessarily they slip through the cracks. I think what happens is, you know, they have the trigger finger that's itching, but also they say, hey, wait a minute. We have these two people that, you know, need a home. They need an alliance. Here they go. We can use them. They can be votes against this person. And, you know, there's always someone. There's always a couple people that are on the bottom of a tribe, right? So it would behoove the people who feel that they're at the bottom of the tribe to pick up the remaining stragglers and make a go at the people they feel are at the top of the tribe who are going to go after them next. you know, and it's the same old story that you see every season. And I don't blame them for people to say, well, you know what, the Desirees of the world, the Chelseas of the world, the people that might think that they don't have a lot of power, to say, well, no, Michael, let's go. I'll vote for you, you know. And by the way, the women were the ones that voted out Libby. So Angela, Desiree, Chelsea, Kellen. And so it would be a very easy conversation to say, we didn't write your name down last week. We wrote Libby's name down. We thought you were going to go home. That's true. We expected that to happen. But we didn't write your name. And now we're going to be willing to work with you to take out Dominic, Wendell, you know, Laurel, whoever. So there, Michael could find himself, and Jenna too could find themselves in a very good situation. Jenna and Sebastian are connected too. So Sebastian might go wherever the wind goes, and that's another vote. So all of a sudden they can be in a situation where there's a lot of power there. And so I'm interested to see how they play it the next couple votes, because that will definitely determine what the direction of the show is going to be moving forward. I just can't see a situation where they go, okay, Michael and Jenna, you're the next two out, and then we'll take each other out. It just doesn't seem like a likely situation. So
with the little highlights that we got, they want us to believe that they are going to start attacking, you know, each other like we think they are, if we go by that, which sometimes psychs me out thinking maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, look, I've been wrong about the editing all season. I sat here 2 weeks ago and said, oh, they're telling you that Dominic and Chris are going to have this huge war, and you know that neither one of them are going to be taken out. Well, Chris got taken out. You know, it's the reality. And no one is sleeping on the fact that Dominic and Wendell are huge players in this game. So, you know, I don't think that they're out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. I was very worried about Laurel because of editing this week, where, you know, all of a sudden we started talking about her more and we started hearing from her more. And I was like, oh no, no, not Laurel. And then she was okay. But well, you know, it'll be interesting to see I think if anybody can pick Michael up, I think it could be that group of women. I just don't see Dominic and Wendell picking Michael up. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what goes down there. But it'll be fun to watch if Michael gets super far and possibly gets to the final tribal council. Because, you know, if he ends up getting far, even if he becomes the winner, I think we understand kind of once and for all that there's certain age demographics that if people know that that's their true age, they're least likely to either take them seriously or to give them the vote at the end of the game. And that's something that, you know, I've listened to a lot with, you know, Will on Millennials versus Gen X, who was like an 18-year-old high schooler, where people didn't really take him seriously. And people, you know, were kind of like, you're an 18-year-old kid. Why are we giving you $1 million? And, you know, if they give Michael the $1 million, if that happens, I don't think they give it to him if they know that he's 18. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes down. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just pondering that. I never even thought about that. On the same token, I think that these are all game players for the majority of them. I don't think that they'll be as butthurt. And if he shows himself and plays a good game, kind of think this jury would be willing to, if he, you know what I mean, if he shows that he's played the better game and he can articulate that. This cast seems to be a more level-headed gaming group than the past seasons, at least in the last few seasons.
I agree with you to a certain extent, though. I agree with you that, you know, I think that you can play a game and at the end of the day you can shake hands and not be hurt and go into the jury not having, like, super bitter feelings. But I also think that if you're looking at three people in the jury at Final Tribal Council, and you're looking at them and you see, okay, there's one person and he's 18 years old and, you know, he, and then I have another person and she's a mother and she has three kids and, you know, or he's a father, he's a parent, or, you know, I think that regardless of the game they played, that factors into the ultimate decision.
But,
it's like,
think that would come out before the vote? I mean, he's went this long. I don't think that he would slip
that up until after the vote. He'll never say it before the vote. And will we ever know that that's the determining factor? If we're not going to have a where it happens twice, and once he says I'm 18 and once he says I'm 23 and we see the results. What I'm saying is I don't think in a normal situation, if they knew Michael was 18, I don't think that they would ultimately give him the money or take him as seriously as they do currently. And I think that's just part of the demo. I think that when you're voting in a jury, you might be bitter that someone screwed you over. You might, you know, have these thoughts. But ultimately, I think you're making the decision of who deserves it more, who needs it more, who do you like more. And I think that's a very swaying thing. And if Michael's up against, Michael says he's 18 and he's up against, you know, a parent or an old, you know, someone who's older and someone who, you know, has a fan, I think he loses to that, even if he played a stronger game. That's my belief. Just like I feel like women, older women, are at a disadvantage in the Final Tribal Councils because everybody sees them in this mom role. And if, you know, they didn't mom you, or if they voted you out and you're mad because your mom voted you out, they, you know, they're least likely to vote for you. And, you know, we've had Dawn, and we've had Tina as an example. We've had a couple of older women to kind of transcend that, but more times than not, they haven't been able to go extremely far in the game. Speaking of older women, I almost forgot. I wanted to make a point of talking about Angela. Holy God, what a great episode for her in terms of just like really getting to see her fun side, which, you know, she won this immunity idol. She ate a bunch of gross food, which, you know, I watching people eat gross things is not like my idea of a good time. But, you know, just to watch her.
But you love Fear Factor? No, there's something wrong with that. Fear Factor.
But I will say this. Back in the day, yeah, you're right. Like old school Fear Factor, I was all about. But even like the Ludacris version, I'm not watching that version anymore.
I stopped watching that like a few episodes in because it got to the same thing as it was before with me. It's the same. It's just regurgitated people, same thing over and over, and it got old.
Right, but you know, it was fun to watch a different side of Angela, and I'm hoping that this cracks her out of this shell and she's, you know, just a more fun person to watch. So that was cool. That was good. And I'm glad that she got it. I'm glad that she did what she needed to do. And I would be the Wendell in this situation. I would have bowed out so quick, so fast. Everybody's head would spin. I'd be like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm gone. But that was cool to see. That was definitely cool to see. Let's switch gears, because we've been talking about it, alluding to it a couple times, about the, you know, a couple of MTV shows that are coming, going, starting, stopping. Hey, let's talk. We finally know the winner of the season of the challenge 90 years later. Jesus, it only took us 2 weeks after watching the entire challenge to find out who ultimately won. But Cara Maria, she won the whole thing. First time we have an individual winner. Huge prize money for that. I mean, $320,000 for first prize. I mean, I know you're saying, oh, well, you know, Survivor gets $1 million, Big Brother gets $500,000, you know, but this is a huge amount of money for the challenge. And this is a situation unlike Survivor or Big Brother or Amazing Race, where most of these contestants come on season after season after season. So they get two or three times a year where they have the opportunity to compete for a prize. It's not just like one time, maybe two in their life in an all-star situation. Cara's been on, you know, the show for like, God, I feel like it's been 10 years, and it probably hasn't been, but it feels like it's been close to that amount. But yeah, she's got a hell of a lot of money. And it's so funny, because one of our listeners said it was more money than when Johnny, you know, stole that money from when Banana stole that money from Sarah. Like, even when he stole that money, it was still less money than what Cara won. So, I mean, that's awesome. I'm happy, because this was probably the season I liked Cara the most this season. I mean, I feel like, you know, there was a lot of talk about Tony kind of getting it all together this season, and kind of, you know, this was the first time that Tony really had it all together. Cara was not a train wreck necessarily, but she had a string of issues and people not liking her and having like not great social gains and things like that. But I feel like this was the first season where everything kind of came together for her. She was strong strategically. She was strong socially. She was strong in competitions. And it all sort of worked out into this win. So this was the most I've liked her in a season. So I was happy to see her win. So I was good with that. Now, I will say this. I said this 2 weeks ago. I did not need to wait 2 weeks for this. This was not, you know, winning the season of a challenge when we had
really, it was literally when it was all said and done. We should have found out at the end of that night.
That's true. That's a good point.
Because
but,
being a puzzle, you know, and Cara going into second place, you knew that she was going to be in a puzzle against that. Come on.
Well, correct. It wasn't like the biggest, you know, surprise ever to occur. But, you know, as I said previously, we have like five challenges between the normal challenge and then Champs versus Pros. We're pretty much where we are watching a challenge 12 months out of the year. Pretty close to that. Probably 10 months out of the year at this point. Who wins is relatively inconsequential. People are not going to stop watching the challenge because someone they didn't like won a season. You know, because the same people come back season after season. And because of that, you know, so tell us who won, and we're still going to watch the reunion. Like, that part is going to happen. You don't need to break it out. But you know, we now know that Cara won, so that's awesome, and I'm excited about that. And which leads us to the Chance versus Pros, which started immediately after the reunion, a new season of the challenge, where we see stars versus champs versus stars. Stars is a very loose word. But I also think that they have some pretty, like, some decent star, quote unquote stars, as in like name recognition and notability and things like that. And I'm like, man, that's Stars Camp. That's got to be interesting. Drake Bell has to like chill out with Jose, who went out first in Big Brother, which, by the way, let me just, my favorite thing to have happened in the entire show.
I couldn't
remember
who the hell he was. I couldn't even remember who the hell he was. Season 17. I'm like, oh, that season. Okay.
Yeah. Season 18. Season 18, in the house, first one out, not like a Jody first one out. He was in for a full week. I made a Jody reference, and I'm hoping that y'all know what that means. and he essentially got out of the house because he compared himself to Obama and, like, you know, wanted to, like, lead a army against the vets. It was the season that Nicole won, and there were four vets in the house, and he called himself Obama, and I think the Messiah. He called himself the Messiah. It was a whole thing. He was voted out first. My favorite thing about this entire thing is that Jose had a confessional, and in the confessional he explained that he played Big Brother, and in Big Brother he learned how to do X, Y, and Z. I was like, what? You were in the house for like 7 days. You learned nothing. What the hell? But I found that so funny that he was this expert in the show.
At that point, they hadn't shown the pictures of Paul in the background. So I was thinking, listening for the accent, okay, is he like BB UK, BB Australia, BB Canada? Okay, what the hell BB is he from? Because I totally forgot who the hell he was. And he was irrelevant then. He's irrelevant now. I mean, you're right. They are stretching the star status a wee bit.
But it's funny because it's like, I can handle it if everybody was on like one level of stardom. So it's like the Jose level stardom, dope, whatever, cool. But like, then you have like I said, Drake Bell, who was on like a legitimate television show back in the day. You have, you know, Brooke Hogan, who has been in several legitimate television, you know, people that you know, are recognizable people. So I found it funny that it was like this. Well, yeah, I mean, it was just funny that it was like a mix of these people, or if I was a star, I'd be like, what the hell? And they did something kind of interesting, too. This is the third season that they have attempted this, and they have Louise, who was on the first season of the show. So they have their first star returnee, which is smart thing to do. So now, for the first two seasons of this show, the champs, the people that have been on the challenge for a million years, absolutely crushed this game and dominated it. And, you know, it was kind of sad to watch because it was like, you know, it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals, where, you know, the champs are just dunking and doing their flips on the trampoline, and the stars are like getting their bearings because they've never been in a situation like this. They've never been in a reality show formulated like this. So it just, they're rookies. So, you know, they need to figure all of this out. So they did a couple of things to like not make it so like champ heavy. First, they brought back Louise, who is a second time player, so she's a vet who has a better understanding of the game and has, you know, now connections with champs such as Wes, where, you know, you find out that Wes and her have been like hanging out and talking since the original season. So you have, you know, at least there's some tentative connections there. Then they decided for the first time that they were going to mix up champs and stars all together on two different teams. And I thought that this was a very smart move, because if you want any sort of drama associated, like any sort of like who's going to win, that was the only way that they were going to be able to do it. So now we have two mixed teams of champs and stars together. And I think that was the way to go. Another thing that they've implemented was they have a save. So if someone goes into elimination and they lose, the other members of their own team can make the decision to save that person from elimination. And it's ultimately like a non-eviction week where nobody goes home that week. So that brings a level of drama to it as well, because, you know, kind of like the Tim Gunn save on Project Runway, you know, you want to see it used, but you want to see it used on you. So it's going to be fun to watch competitors make the decision as to who to save it, because you ultimately, you know, once you use it, you're not going to be able to use it again. And so I could see people like, I'm never going to use it because maybe when it's my turn, they'll use it on me if I have to go home. So I think that just brings another element of strategy. So it's at least they're trying to make the game a little bit more even, for lack of a better word, and a little bit more interesting. So it's not so like, okay, the people who've played the challenge for the past 15 years of their life are just like killing these stars. The other part of it too is that, you know, and we've talked about it a lot for like Celebrity Apprentice and things like that. You know, they're there for their paychecks, but, you know, they're there for their appearance fee, but whether or not they stay and compete, they could go home week one, they can go home week six, it does not matter to them. And so, you know, we had a situation just like we always have where the stars always nominate themselves. You know, we have people who are like, oh yeah, I'll go in. That's cool. And it pretty much takes all the drama out of everything because it's like, yeah, I want to go in. Where we get the normal challenge where the challengers are doing everything in their power not to go in. The stars are like, whatever, I'll go into the elimination. I don't really care. And this is kind of low stakes for us. So we had that a little bit, but at least Casper Smart, at least he fought. He didn't want to go in. At least there was some fighting on that side of it. So I'll take that. Casper Smart, by the way, J-Lo's boyfriend. How do I know that? Or J-Lo's ex-boyfriend, not current boyfriend. J-Lo's now with A-Rod. How do I know that? Because every confessional about him had to do with J-Lo. MTV wanted us to know that he had a connection to J-Lo. We had to know
it. And at the time this was filmed, they probably had just broke up. They could have been teetering back and forth. A-Rod and them have been together. They haven't been together a full year yet.
No, but they've been broken up for a pretty significant amount of time though.
Just weeks before it came out about them two, they were hanging around each other again.
It was probably
a month in between A-Rod and that. I'm not saying they were back together, but they were hanging out together.
Casper Smart is not doing this show if he's in any way connected to J-Lo. He's not doing this show.
I'm not saying they're back together, but they were hanging around that time, like within a month period between that and A-Rod deal coming out.
Yeah.
Unless they were trying to do that to throw off the son of the A-Rod thing, I don't know. But you know, you haven't even addressed the elephant in the room. There's no bananas this season.
I know, and I found that very interesting, but I also feel like that kind of makes sense in a way, just from his perspective. Like, they're now filming these so close together that Bananas has to, like, go and do other, like, appearances. He does other things he does commercials for the channel. He does other things. He just might not have been available during those couple weeks. They wanted him to be doing something else. So that... You know,
or he started to become less relevant because Devin was there. So maybe
no.
They're prepping Devin for for the bananas takeover when he gets too old and he falls apart.
No, I don't think. Bananas is still as relevant. You know, he's now it's waning.
Hey, but he's becoming less relevant. There's people starting to step up.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I still think he is the star of this.
Oh, he's going to be around to the day they tell him he's not. That's his livelihood. But I don't think he's as relevant as he used to be anymore. Like, they thrived and lived on bananas.
I disagree with that completely. I think that he is just as relevant. I think he is the biggest star that
he's been irrelevant in my book ever since he started. He was starting to sway
me a little bit, and I
didn't catch Instagrams on him being a dick again, and then he lost.
I know. From your perspective, he is. But from the world's perspective, he is like the most, he is the most famous child. And I do think that when he kind of ages out of the system, I still think he has a few more years. I don't think that it's going to be right away. I think that they will. I mean, I could see him replacing TJ as the host. I don't think he leaves that universe. I could see him hosting the reunion shows.
He's a staple
like
with
Bulls.
MTV.
Yeah,
he's a staple at this point with MTV. So they'll find something for him.
Right. I think that most people kind of retire and go away, I think that he'll be there in some capacity, even if he's not competing.
And I'm sorry, but MTV just makes me want to vomit every time I see Natalie on the show acting like she knows what the hell she's talking about.
Natalie is a good rookie person for them. They just don't have – they don't have a lot of rookie women competitor, you know. I think that they're having a harder time finding female competitors than male competitors. And, Natalie.
That's why we're going to the UK to get them now.
Well, true. And that's exactly it.
They're competitors. They weren't competitors. They were just drama filled.
Well, and we're kind of expanding this universe because we also have because I only have a couple of minutes left. We also have X on the Beach, which is a UK imported show, which is premiering tonight, which is again expanding this universe of. So now they have people from The Bachelor, they have people from Big Brother, they have people from Vanderpump Rules, they have people from a variety of different reality shows coming together for this.
Can you really say that Faith was a part of Vanderpump Rules? She was a part of like one episode. She was only physically seen for 30 seconds. Her name keeps lingering around for the season.
But my point is they're expanding this universe even further, and you know that those people are now going to be challenge people as well. So you know they're finding ways to and part of me when I first kind of saw this as like, oh, they're expanding the brand. You're like, oh man, like I like, you know, only Real World, only Road Rule. That's it. That's what it was. That's the humble beginnings. But now I'm taking a different stance from that. And it kind of reminds me more of, you know, I loved Battles of the Reality Stars when back in the day, like 2004 on Bravo, and they had all these people coming together and competing in different things. I feel like that's the approach that they're going to take, where like all of a sudden we have Bachelor contestants, Big Brother contestants, Survivor contestants, Jordy Shore, X on the Beat, all of these people kind of coming together to compete in like challenge activities. And, you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it because I'd rather take the stronger competitors than keep having people, you know, the same people that you know will never be able to win, you know, and you just have them as filler. So, I'm going to give X on the Beach an episode. I'll see. I thought Are You the One was going to be crazy, and I ended up absolutely loving it. So we'll see what X on the Beach brings to the table. We'll see, and we'll talk about it next week. Anyway, speaking of next week, our time is up. Next week, we will talk a lot more Survivor, a lot more Channel, a lot more of everything. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.
Night, everyone.